May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
I was telling Father Chris just before we processed in that the Latin word for serve is militans. Well, that hymn certainly had the right tone to it, didn't it? It was wonderful. It is so good to have you back.
Amen.
Amen.
I am blessed you all.
Praise the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Oh, and by the way, Father, it didn't burst in flame, so I guess this is the one I'm supposed to preach. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, in him, that is in Christ, we were also chosen. Another way to translate that word is we are heirs. In him we are heirs, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that, and that's kind of like a flashing light. Pay attention here. In order that, we who were the first to hope in Christ, put our confidence in Christ, we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be or exist for the praise of his glory. We exist, you and I exist for the praise of his glory. Let that one sink in a little bit, okay? Well, there are basically three themes that kind of flowed out of this first chapter of Ephesians that were beating against my brain here. And that we exist for the praise of his glory. That we, when we are in Christ, we are dwelling in the heavenly realms. And that in order to dwell permanently in those heavenly realms, we have to line up with his plan and his purpose for our lives. All of that can be found right here in this first chapter of Ephesians. When back in the early 1990s, when the Episcopal Church was falling off its rails, and I was just really discouraged and seriously depressed in one sense, I went down to the monastery. That was actually in 1989, in November of 1989. I'd just come back from the diocesan convention, and it was horrible. And so I told Miranda, I've got to go. I've got to go just spend some time with God. And I went down to the monastery, and I sat before him, and I talked to one of the monks who was there and prayed with him about it. And I just said, Lord, you know, whatever it is you want me to do, just tell me what you want me to do. Where do you want me to go? What do you, you know, and I felt like the sure answer was, you got to leave the Episcopal Church and you got to go where, and I'm, you know, so I was fully expecting that word. And I got the word, I'm sending you back as a light in the midst of the darkness. And I'm like, oh, crap. No. No. You're to be a prophet in the midst of the darkness. No, God, no. So for the next 3 years, I really earnestly sought to fulfill that word. And at every diocesan convention, I would stand up whenever they would come up with some other stupid thing to, you know, oh yeah, abortion is a woman's right to choose, and no, you know, and marriage, oh, marriage is between any two people who want to live together. What? Regardless of gender. What? You know. And so I was proclaiming the word boldly, as clearly as I could. The bishop 5 times during that period asked me to leave his diocese. I don't understand why he didn't want me around. But anyway.
You were like Amos.
A dresser of sycamore trees, yes. Anyway, and so it was about 1994, and I got down on my face again down at the monastery, and I was just, Lord, you know, I have sought earnestly to proclaim your word boldly. What do you want me to do? And he said very clearly, did I tell you to proclaim my word boldly? Well, you called me to be a prophet in the midst of the darkness. Prophets, that's what they do. Did I tell you to proclaim my word boldly? Well, God, you know, you sent me back there. Did I tell you to proclaim my word boldly? Well, what did you want me to do? I want you to live the truth joyfully. Oh. To live the truth joyfully to the praise of His glory. We exist for the praise of His glory. Oh! Well, actually, I've been working on the precept for this coming week. You should have it in your email by this afternoon. There are a couple of printed copies out there. And the precept that I'm working on this week is, consider your legacy. How are people going to remember you? I imagine John Bob Johnson's going to remember me as this terrible thorn in his flesh. But anyway, you know. But are they going to remember that you were walking and living in praise and glory of God? Are they going to see that joy manifest in your lives? Are you living for the praise of His glory? I was thinking about Amanda and the dance that she was, the performance they were doing at the nursing home this past Friday. All the little ones, the 3 to 5 year olds, we went to see that because Ruth was dancing at that. And I couldn't help but think that Amanda's legacy is going to be witnessed in all of these children who grow up to be such joyful dancers before the Lord. And that, you know, that's something that you can really hang on to and say, yes, the praise of His glory, the praise of His glory. And she, of course, Kaylee, and actually Daniel was part of In His Steps too. But yeah, they were her offspring. But think of how many other offspring she has that can point to and say, here is a whole multitude that are living for the praise of His glory. And that's what God is trying to say to us through this passage in Ephesians. The priest who recommended me for ordination, who sponsored me for ordination in the Episcopal Church.
He agrees with you.
Thank you. It's fine. That's wonderful. And he's going, wait a minute, why is everybody looking at me? The priest who sponsored me for ordination, gosh, 36, 8, I don't remember how many years ago, whatever it was. Anyway, George Gillespie, he was fabulous. Actually, I really think George is a saint. I really do. He only put up with me for however long. But George, if you went up to George and you just asked him, how you doing, George? He would look you in the eye and he would say, I'm living in heaven. That was his standard response. I'm living in heaven. And that's, again, what Paul is pointing to, and it's a theme that's repeated over and over again in the epistle to the Ephesians, is that we dwell in the heavenly places. We dwell in the heavenly, as the NIV says, the heavenly realms. And that if we're living for the praise of His glory, that's where we belong, is in the heavenly realms. Take a look at verse 3 in the first chapter of Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, it's past tense, it's already done, it's actually perfect tense, has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're there. All that belongs to Christ is ours because we are in Him. We exist for the praise of His glory. For He chose us in Him before creation, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. And then for what? To the praise of His glorious grace. We dwell in the heavenly places so that we can exist for the praise of His glory. And if we're living for the praise of His glory, we're in the heavenly places. And so how are you doing? I'm living in heaven. That's what the proper response really is. Because we exist for Him and for His praise. Look at chapter 2. That heavenly realms appears like five times throughout the book of Ephesians. But let me just point out the next one. In verse 6 of chapter 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. That's, again, a done deal. God raised us. That's past. He has already done it. God raised us up with Christ. When you were baptized, you, what? Died and were raised with Christ. Amen? Okay, so God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. So how close are you to Abba Daddy? If you're in Christ Jesus, and He's sitting at the right hand of God, you're that close. That's where Daddy's sitting. You're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. We are the heirs, as it said in verse 12 back there. Verse 11. We were chosen. We are heirs. But in order to move from being just heirs, an heir is somebody who has been designated for the inheritance. Okay? But in order to enter into the inheritance, you have to fulfill the obligations of the heir in order to become an inheritor. Are you with me? So even though we are in Christ, we still have to maintain that relationship with Christ Jesus. Does this make sense? Are you all following me? Okay, an inheritor is one who has fulfilled the demands of the inheritance. And I could give you a lot of examples, but I think I'll just leave it at that. All right? And so, what are those demands? What is it that God is calling us to do in order to become full inheritors of His kingdom? We need to follow in right relationship with Christ Jesus, which is another way of saying you have to fulfill righteousness. To be righteous is to walk in right relationship with Christ Jesus. Look at Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7 and verse 7. This is what He, God, showed me, Amos. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" And Amos, being smart, said, "A plumb line." Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel." Okay, a plumb line. I had to use a plumb line yesterday. Christopher got a refrigerator, and he got a refrigerator that didn't quite fit into the space where the old refrigerator was. All right? And so the refrigerator is now in the dining room. And there's a hole in their kitchen where a refrigerator is supposed to be. And so I offered to build a pantry in that space. But as I was measuring it to figure out what I needed to buy to build this pantry, I was like, this doesn't make sense. And so I got Amanda to give me some thread, and I put a key on the bottom of the thread, and I was holding up this plumb line. That's what a plumb line is. It measures whether or not something is straight up and down. Yeah, I don't think there's a plumb line in your house. But it's a half inch further to the left at the top than it is at the bottom, okay? I mean, you know, it's just, oh yeah, okay. You can't fit something plumb in there. And so when I'm building this thing, I'm either going to have to cock the one on the right a half inch off of plumb, or I'm going to have it plumb, and then there's going to be a half inch gap over here. You know, the thing is, if you get something out of plumb, it doesn't just affect you. It's going to affect everybody who follows you. For example, if you don't have a wall plumb and you want to put wallpaper on it, oh yeah, that's bad. Okay, you know. And so here it is. What Amos is saying is God is holding a plumb line, and if you are not following in the straight way that is in accordance with that line, then it's going to be problematic for you, but also for everybody who follows after you. The legacy. What is it that you're leaving behind? What is it that you are doing? Are you walking in right relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you are not, it's not just about you. It's about the kingdom. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, I think. I'm getting away from my notes here. 28, I don't remember. 28, 26. Hold on, I'll find it. It's 28. This one should sound somewhat familiar. Isaiah 28:16. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Right relationship with Christ is the plumb line. He is the cornerstone. And as we saw in Amos, everything was all lined up. But then when God turned the plumb line toward his people, everything was out of plumb. And that's not a good thing. So what is this righteousness? Okay, so Bill, how do you go forward with this? What are we supposed to say? Well, look at Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, this is the marriage feast, the wedding banquet, okay? And the people who were invited didn't come, and so he went out into the streets and invited everybody to come in, and they all came into the wedding banquet. And they were all brought in. And then in verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are heirs, but not all are going to be inheritors. There's another way to say that. Are you with me? So, he didn't have on wedding garments and he got cast out. What are the wedding garments? Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. So what are the wedding garments? The wedding garments are the righteous deeds of the saints. If you want to be in right relationship with God, you will do what is righteous, what is right, what is in accordance with his word. The plumb line is there. Are you lined up with what Jesus Christ has told us in his gospel, how we are to live in accordance with his word? And when we are living in accordance with his word, and when we are doing the things that are pleasing unto him, we are living and existing for the praise of his glory. And we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. Does this all make sense? Do you see how this all lines up? And it's so easy to preach and just really hard to live. It's just one of those things that, okay, I hear the word, but, I want to fudge it just a little bit over here. That's hard to live by. I want to do it this way. Oh, okay, God, you're saying do it this way. But when we are rightly aligned with God, we are living in the heavenly realms, and we are living for the praise of his glory. Are you living in heaven? If I ask you, will you be able to say, hey, I'm living in heaven? Are you dressed for the wedding banquet? Are you have the right relationship with God? Ask God to give you the grace. Ask God to give you the courage to live in accordance with his word. Amen.